Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
You know, Corey is very dear to Nikki and I. Corey Russell lives in Dallas, Texas. He's on staff with Upper Room. Many of you have heard Upper Room's worship. This is how I fight my battles. Many of you are familiar with that song. That's where that song came out of. And they're releasing just powerful sounds of worship. But Corey just joined their staff this past year after a 20-year period on staff at IHOP, International House of Prayer, in Kansas City. And what I love about Corey is not his preaching, even though I believe he's one of the greatest preachers in the world. My personal opinion, he's one of the greatest preachers on the planet. What I love about Corey is not just his preaching ability, not who he is. I love the fact that not just his gifting, but this man is an intercessor. For the last 18 years, 5 days a week, for 8 hours a day, he has spent faithfully in the prayer room at International House of Prayer. He gets in from a long weekend, he goes straight to the prayer room, and he's there all week until he goes back out, and he's done that for the last 18 years. He has a breaker anointing, and I love it, and I'm really excited to announce this, that he's going to be coming back. We feel a real assignment on his life to help us here at the Summit Edmonton, consistently coming in throughout the next year, maybe even beyond that, to help us develop some things that are in my heart, Nikki's heart, that he just has a grace and anointing to help us break through. So Corey is getting ready to be a familiar face here in Edmonton, and I want you guys to honor that, because he's got anywhere in the world he can be preaching, but more than that, he wants to partner with brothers and people that he believes in, and I'm just thankful that he believes in Nikki and I and in this house. It touches my heart to know that, and so can you guys stand to your feet and give Corey Russell a big welcome from Edmonton? Big Alberta welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. You give my armor bearer here a hand too, Micaiah. Give her a hand. She did amazing.
Excellent. Good job.
All right, good. You come down there. Thank you. Nobody better mess with me. She's going to take you out. Thank you, worship team. Amazing. Just so grateful, man. You guys are spoiled, and you need to know it. Do you know how spoiled you are? Worship like this. And so it's an honor to be with you guys. And I'm just falling in love with all that God's doing with Chris and Nikki and the team here. And it's an honor to be with you guys. Father, we love you so much. Let's just stand. I'm going to ask you to stand. I just want to take about 30 seconds. I just want you to look at him. Okay? Don't yell at him. Let's look at him. Father, we love you so much tonight. We're just so grateful for sending your son Jesus to the earth. We thank you, Lord, that the death that was deserving us was released upon him. We thank you that you died in our place, and we thank you for everlasting life. We just lift our eyes and our hands and our hearts to you right now. Father, we ask you just to set this weekend apart. We ask you to visit us in your glory and your power. Father, I pray that you would release a revelation, impartation, that you would release clarity, that you would release power and understanding, that you would shift homes, that you would shift lives. Father, I pray that you would break out and that this would begin to shift even into the city. Father, we just declare that you are king. Father, we declare, Jesus, that you are king. You are exalted far above every name. Jesus, you are enthroned on your heavenly throne over every power, principality, ruler, and dominion. We thank you right now when we declare that Jesus Christ is king over Edmonton. Jesus Christ is Lord over Edmonton. We declare right now that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We declare that you are preeminent, that you are supreme, that you are far above everything. We thank you that through your death you disarmed principalities and powers, and that you made a public spectacle over them. You triumphed over them in the cross. And we declare that you've been given the highest place, that you have passed through the heavens, and that you are seated far above every power, principality, ruler, and dominion. And you've raised us up together with you and seated us together with you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray for that maturation, that graduation, that maturity, that you would bring the church of Edmonton, that you would bring the church of Alberta into a new place of maturity, that the revelation of Christ would permeate, the revelation of in Christ would permeate. God, I pray for the revelation of Christ Jesus. No other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Shataye. We declare it right now. No other foundation can be laid. No other foundation can be laid. No other foundation can be laid. Not just get out of jail free card, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not fire insurance or life insurance, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. Come on, just take 30 seconds and begin now to receive. I believe it's an hour. He wants to release apostolic building. See, y'all did that for 5 seconds. You just want to sit down. The Apostle Paul said, I thank God that I speak in the Holy Ghost. The man who understood more mysteries. Father of glory, give us the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. To see him is to long for him. Pray till you pray. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I thank you for the Ephesians 5, the mystery of Christ in the church. The mystery of Christ in the church. Thank you, God. Elebo soto yo rebe soto yo rebe soto yo. We bless your name, Abba. Grow the summit up, God. Grow the church of Alberta up. I pray, God, that you would begin to grow us up into the head. We want to grow up into the head. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. God, I pray for a rootedness in the word. I pray for your word to abound in this season, God. You said in Psalm 1 that the man who meditates in your law, he would be prosperous. God, I ask you for that prosperity that flows from the inside out. Blessed is the man who meditates in my law day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. And whatever he does shall prosper. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now just these last 20 seconds. Open up your hand. Now just receive right now. Father of glory, reveal your son to our hearts, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Oh, we want the fire of the Holy Spirit. We want the wind and the wine and the river. We want the Shekinah glory. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining in the face. It's shown into our hearts. Father, we ask you for fresh fire in the name of Jesus. Fire isn't an emotion that you just stir up. It's a person. Celebo. So it's about proximity to the fire that sets you on fire. It's not a personality type. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we bless you and we thank you. And I thank you for all that you're doing here and all that you plan to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Good. Well, I could do this. I love this. I feel like we could. That's why we need to have more prayer meetings just so we can do that.
Not just in Bible reading and checking it off a list, but in meditation.
Meditation, which means that slow, pondering, worshipful, prayerful, praying the Bible back to Jesus. Slowing down and quit trying to read your Bible in a year and connect with the person who started the conversation with you. Everybody wants to check something off their list and he wants to talk to you. And he wants you to talk back. So I want to invite you. I believe that he wants to deepen the spirit of revelation on your life. And I believe he's bringing the church here at the summit into a deeper place for the coming days. Good. Well, look with me real quickly in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to share with you and we'll just see where we get. I just can't quit praying in the Holy Spirit. So hopefully I can give some verses. I want to talk about longing for the bridegroom. We're going to get to Revelation 22:17 after this. Okay? I love it. A lot of times I've come here, I've never gotten to the message. It's mostly just win, win, fire, fire, glory, glory, win. And I love that. It's my new prayer. I love that. We can flow in that and hopefully he'll do it. But I know he wants to release the word tonight. Oh, dang. Do you love the word of God? Do you love the word of God? I pray that it becomes your daydream and your getaway and that it would log more hours this month than Netflix. That it would log more hours than your social media. I tell you, these new parts of these iPhones, they actually tell you how much time you spend on your iPhone. It's so convicting. Gets up into your business. And I ask myself, have I spent the three and a half hours in my Bible today or whatever? All right, let's look at Matthew 9. Verse 14. The disciples of John came to Jesus and they go, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And I'm reading from the New King James. And Jesus answered and said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom, I love this, he defines his disciples as friends of the bridegroom. Okay? Friends of the bridegroom, can they mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Do you know Jesus is a bridegroom? Do you know that? Okay, he is. I'm just telling you, there it is. We talk about Savior, we talk about King, we talk about Father. Do you know him as a bridegroom? He says, as long as the bridegroom is with them, he says, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and I love this, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. Look at this. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. This is an awesome passage. The disciples of John and the Pharisees are in the same group with one another. They're a group that are fasting at least 2 days a week. They're the most radical, prayerful, disciplined, righteous, God-seeking people in the world. And they're looking over at Jesus and his crew saying, why do we always beating ourselves in our discipline? And you guys are always sitting around eating and drinking and fellowshipping and hanging out. I'm over here starving and you guys are eating till you can't even see straight. And I love it because Jesus in essence is saying, guys, I'm introducing a new paradigm of what it means to seek God. I'm introducing a new paradigm of seeking heaven and of seeking God and of spiritual disciplines. And Jesus in essence is saying, I have one agenda for these 3.5 years, and that's addicting them to my presence. I am addicting them to my presence. I am getting them so lost in my presence, in my word, in my nearness, in my proximity, because the days are coming when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. And they will be cut to the heart, not of something that they're supposed to do, but because they've been wounded to the core over my presence. They will do without the necessary things of this world to long for my proximity and my nearness and my coming. And that is the new wineskin that I'm going to release new wine into. I want to make something clear to you. There is a dramatic shift in the local church and in the church across the earth going on right now. And I believe that the churches that are going to be useful to Jesus in the coming days are the churches that are going to prioritize longing for the presence of Jesus at the core of our lives. And the ones that want to seek, keep running machines and keep focused on people only, they will be non-useful in the coming days. Jesus is saying this is about mourning for me. Pain over the gap. Pain over the gap. Pain over God. I'm grateful for everything that I have in you, but God, I long for more. Are you in touch with that mourning? When we think mourning, we think funerals, and Jesus saying, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted with the Comforter. Look with me in Revelation 22, 17. I want to look at a familiar passage that we speak because I a lot of times I try to run past this first verse, this first Matthew 9, but the Lord never lets me do it because he says, I want them to understand that I'm wanting to cut them. And here's my question to you. Do you love his presence? Have you been wounded over his presence? Because at the end of the day, I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, I'm just a little boy from Arkansas who got saved radically in 1997, delivered out of drugs, sex, and rap, not rock and roll. And I fell madly in love with the presence of God. I fell madly in love with the presence of God. And I settled it that one moment in his presence was greater than 1,000 moments anywhere else. And that the very point of my existence was living in the presence of Jesus. So I began to rearrange my life around obeying my thirst. It wasn't about doing stuff to get his attention. It was about I just found a treasure that's worth more than $1 trillion. And I'm going to build my life around building electric fences around protecting the glorious $1 trillion investment that had just been placed in my life. Do you love his presence? Because when you fall in love with presence, you get dangerous. People that fall in love with presence break protocol. They break rules. It's not about the rule. It's not about just the 10%. And they're going to get it down to the cent. Revelation 22, 17 is a whole church at the end of the age. What I love about Revelation 22, 17, it took the whole Bible to get the church to this point. It took all of the last days to get the church to this point. We know the verse. Everybody say it. Say, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let's do it again. The Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come. One more time. The Spirit and the bride say, come. That right there is a prophecy about what the church is going to look like before Jesus returns. That's where you and I fit into this storyline, and what the Holy Spirit is doing across the earth right now is awakening Revelation 22, 17. The Holy Spirit is doing Revelation 22, 17. He is delivering the church from the American dream, and he's awakening the heavenly dream for the longing of Jesus Christ. For the longing, because we were singing about seeing him earlier. I want to tell you, when you see him, you want him. When you see him, you want him. You long for him. And to see him is to want him. Hallelujah. That's a threefold prophecy. Let's keep that verse up for a lot, because I'm going to go back and forth to it. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And it might just time out. Keep tapping it. It's a threefold prophecy about where we're going. Number one, the days are coming to where the Holy Spirit and the church are going to come into unity with one another. I don't know how you do your FM AM. Y'all have FM AM in Canada? All right, good. Holy Spirit's been on FM for 2,000 years and the church has mostly been on AM. But the days are coming to where the church and the Holy Spirit are going to come into unity with one another. And the deep longing of the Holy Spirit is going to become the deep longing of the church. And the church, because this is something the Lord's speaking to me about, we will only unify with the Holy Spirit to the degree we submit to the Holy Spirit. Unity is based out of submission. Number two, there is coming a new paradigm, a new identity to the church. The church is going to begin to see God differently, and we're going to see ourselves differently. We're going to begin to see God primarily. There is a profound revelation of God in the last days. And it's the revelation of God as bridegroom. That may sound weird and foreign, and I don't even know how to say that. But if I had time to walk you that the Bible begins with the wedding and it ends with the wedding. Isaiah 54 says, your maker is your husband. Hosea 2 says, I will bring you to the wilderness. I will take out of your mouth the names of the bells, and you will call me my husband. Isaiah 62, his name, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. He is a tender bridegroom. He is a fierce bridegroom. He's a jealous bridegroom. He's a righteous bridegroom. Hallelujah. It's not spirit and sons. It's not spirit in the church. It's not spirit in the army. It's the bride with army boots on. She is rooted in a bridal identity of understanding him as the tender, nurturing, pursuing, passionate, jealous bridegroom. And it's going to deliver the church from widowhood and orphanhood. And we're going to come out of the shadows of religiosity. And we're going to come into the house of intimacy. I'm going to get to that in a second. And when the nitrogen of the Spirit meets the glycerin of the bride, we are going to see a global explosion touch every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. There's going to come a global groan, a global prayer. Come. Come. Come to me in intimacy. Come near us in revival and come for us at your coming. Do you know why Jesus is coming back? Because we want him to. Most of us are okay. Stay on up there. Let me get to 90. And right before I pass away, you can come then. Paul says in 2 Timothy that he gets a crown to those who love his appearing. We'll get there. I want to go back and spend a little bit more time on the Holy Spirit tonight. Because I want you to see that in Revelation 22, 17, it took God a lot of work to get the church to this. It took 2,000 years since Jesus' death, and specifically, there's coming, I believe we're moving steadily into the generation that will witness the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a big statement. It's always safe to say he's coming someday. It's always safe. Yeah, brother, I believe it. He's coming. Do you understand that the core of the gospel is when the angel said, why are you looking up? In the same way he went up, so he's coming down again. Do you know that Mary didn't figuratively give birth to Jesus? Do you know that she didn't have a symbolic Jesus birth out of her spiritual womb? No, she screamed and a baby boy came out of her womb. No. And that really baby boy really died on a cross. And that man really came out of the grave. And that man literally ascended to heaven. 500 saw him get caught up in a cloud and taken up to heaven, where he's been in full-time ministry for the last 2,000 years. It's called the ministry of intercession. He's not in a lazy boy up there. And he's not just staying up there, and it's not just some symbolic figurative, but that he's returning as the Son of David and the Son of God to establish a literal throne on the earth from where he will rule the nations, and he's making Jerusalem his Oval Office. It's really good, and it changes Monday and Tuesday. And God has two great ingredients to bring you into this. Two great ingredients. It's called presence, and it's called pressure. Presence and pressure. Think about whatever God has done in your life to get you to this point. He has used times of glory and times of gory. He has used, God, I can't handle anymore. I love your presence. And oh my God, where are you? My God, where are you? He uses the my God, where are you? And my God, you're so close. And he uses both of those ingredients in his sovereign timing and choosing in your life to deliver you from self-righteousness and deliver you from witchcraft called doing Christianity in your own strength. Doing Christianity in your own ability, your own wisdom, your own resources, your own might, your own wealth, your own. And he is delivering the church from the own, and he's driving us into a deeper dependence and submission to the Holy Spirit. Most of us are saying, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'll take it from here. And God says, I'm going to use presence and pressure. Presence and pressure. I'm going to put you into vice grips. Jacob, I'm going to lay hold of you when you're all alone. I'm going to get you into situations. I've been loving Genesis 32:24. It says, now when Jacob was left alone, a man laid hold of him. Are you with me? It's okay if you're not. We're going to get there. The Spirit and the bride say, come. I believe God is delivering the church from self-righteousness, from living this thing in your own wisdom, power, and might. Jeremiah 9:24 is coming to the church. Can you put Jeremiah 9:24 up here? It says, do not let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. For a season, I want you to stop calling him the. I want you to call, we need a new understanding, because you've ever witnessed anybody and said, have you met the Jesus? Why don't you call him the Jesus? Because he's not an it, he's a person. Holy Spirit is a person, and he happens to be not second cousin of the Trinity. He's as much God as Jesus is God, and as the Father is God. He is God. He was there in Genesis 1 brooding over the deep. He brooded over the Virgin Mary's womb, and she conceived of the Son of God. He is God. He is God. Holy Spirit is God. And Holy Spirit's about, we're about to see a great breakout of the Spirit in the church. We'll use him in our charismatic circles, but I'm not just talking about how good service was on Sunday. I'm talking about him getting up into your business. I'm talking about rearranging furniture on the inside of you to build a habitation of his presence. We talk about Holy Ghost and fire. That's a deadly prayer. But what else are we going to pray? Can you put Matthew 3:11 up here? You can find Matthew 3:11. You can find it in Luke 3:16. I love it. 5, 4, 3, 2. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. Get a hold of this. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John says, I can only get to the outside of the cup. He's getting on the inside. He's going to get to places that religion will never touch. He'll get to, you can have the plastic smile, you can have the praise God and bumper stickers and t-shirts and live a nice life, but he's going to begin to put his finger on that lust issue and jealousy and envy and the way you talk and what you look at and what you listen to and your jealousy and your envy and your lying around tax season. I mean, everybody, you know, the devil wants to make peripheral things the big issue with Holy Spirit. Falling in down and speaking in tongues. Let's stir that up and make that the issue. That's easy. What happens when fire starts breaking in and says, stop lying on your tax records? What about when he tells you, quit watching that show where they're fornicating? How about then? How about stop talking about someone you have no business talking about? What happens then? See, that lets us know that we can have a cultural, theological appreciation for Holy Spirit, but are you hungry for the baptism of fire? Are you hungry for him to begin to confront the chaff? Look at the next verse. It says this. Oh, and because we think about the fire, it's going to be glory. It's going to be glory. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He's wanting to do that in your barn. He's wanting to do that in your barn. He's wanting to rearrange furniture, and before he can build something new, he's got to demolish the old. Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16 says the same thing. Ephesians 5:26, it says that Jesus will present to himself a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. I want to tell you, water and fire is coming to the church. Water and fire, cleansing and fire. The water gets the spots out, but the fire is going to get the wrinkles out. We treated Holy Spirit. We'll like him theologically. We'll like him at a distance. Come on in for service, Holy Spirit. But you go back in when we need you to. I don't know if you have these kinds of people in Canada, but we have a lot of drunk uncles at Christmas time in America. Anybody got drunk uncles? They're just always tipsy around Christmas. Anybody in here? This is what we do with my drunk uncle. You put him off in the back room. Because this is what the drunk uncle will do. If you let him loose when he's tipsy, he'll come in there and begin to stir up every elephant and dysfunction in the family. You can't have just a nice Christmas with drunk uncle around. Most of us are happier with our dysfunction, our nice dysfunction, than our ugly reality. And so we'll put drunk uncle off in the back room. We'll bring his food to him, because if he comes out, he'll start talking about mother-in-law and daughter-in-law's issues, son and father's issue, sisters and brother's issue, cousin's issue, and he'll stir up every elephant in the family. And we've treated the Holy Spirit like the drunk uncle. We'll let you come out as long as it works with us, but I'm here to tell you right now that there's coming a great submission to the Holy Spirit. There's coming a great submission to the Holy Spirit. No one loves Jesus more than the Holy Spirit. You can't do this in your own strength. You can have a good cultural experience, a charismatic experience on Sunday. Oh, but he wants to build a lot more than that in you. He wants to rearrange furniture. He wants the fire to burn. Can you put Revelation 3:20 up here? This is good. This is good. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Everybody, newsflash, this isn't for the lost. It's not for the lost. How does Jesus, who's living in my heart, knocking at the door of my heart? Because there's levels to this. There's degrees to this. And I want you to know something about your burning bridegroom. He's always looking for more. He's a real estate developer. He's a real estate developer. He didn't just want your justified spirit. He wants your thought life. He wants your emotional chemistry. He wants your dreams and your desires. He wants your daydreams. He wants the Bible to be your number one source of entertainment. And Jesus stands at the door of our heart, and he says, to the person who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him. Hallelujah. Open the door right now. Open the door in your life right now. Because I want to tell you, I found in my Christian life, God will begin to disrupt me. I know Chris has been talking about spiritual hunger. My journey for the last 25 years of walking with the Lord is he will begin to stir up a strange hunger, and I will get disillusioned. I'll get disillusioned with hearing me preach, hearing you preach, hearing everybody talk about him. And I'm like, God, I've got to know you more. And that's actually the first work in God, is disillusioning you and unsettling you. The world will feed you more money, feed you an affair, feed you a Netflix binge, feed you more medication, feed you more alcohol, feed you more of this. And God's saying, obey your thirst and get raw and come on. Come on, come on. Because whenever God begins to awaken a new hunger in you, it's a sign that he's about to birth you into a new season. Do you know that rawness I'm talking about? Do you? I'm serious. I'm asking you to ask yourself, do you know the raw I want to know him? And then God will meet that cry and baptize me afresh, and I will walk in the grace of that for 5 to 6 years. And then he will disrupt my life again, saying, Corey, are you starting to hear the news about what everybody says about you? You starting to believe the press about how awesome you are? You ain't so awesome. There's more, and you're living in a kiddie pool, and I'm introducing and inviting you into an ocean. Are you satisfied with being a little bit more anointed than the guy down the road? Do you want more? And I go, yes, Lord, I want more. And he says, well, come on, let's do it. That's what hunger looks like. It's the revelation of how much you need God. The greatest gift that you can ask God for is, God, reveal to me how much I need you. Say that. Say, I want to know how much I need you. Now, we all know it. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. But who knows when he cuts you? That's what this is all about. The Spirit and the bride say come is a church that's been wounded. That's been wounded with every other thing, and that there's no solution to the pain, the deepest groan of the human spirit for face-to-face encounter with Jesus. That's what you were made for, is for face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And nothing of this world will scratch that itch. No amount of money will touch it. No amount of media will touch it. No amount of anything this world has to offer. And that's because that's what he wants. He's put eternity in you and then put it around flesh and blood. Now saying, let's multiply and let's mature that groan for decades. Jesus, the Spirit and the bride. See, this is what Holy Spirit, as the fire begins to get up into your life, it will begin to confront the ugly dress you're wearing. Because Holy Spirit is a garment. He is your wedding planner. Do you know that? Do you know Holy Spirit is your wedding planner? And he's preparing you to marry Jesus one of these days. We can go back to that hunger thing. I'm going to keep punching you in the gut until you wake up in your spirit. Groan. Everybody say groan. Been praying it for years. God, awaken the groan. I love it. Exodus 2, the end of Exodus 2, 430 years, slaves in Egypt. King of Egypt dies. And then a groan began to come out of the slaves. Do you know what awakens a groan? When the revelation of what you're made for collides with the revelation of where you're at. And in that place, the groan is awakened. In that place, God, I am made for union with the Lamb of God. I am made to get lost in the ocean of His presence. And God, why am I trifling around with offense and bitterness and rejection and living on waiting for that guy to notice me? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26 says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. What's our weakness? Can you put Romans 8:26 up here? What's our weakness? We're caught in between two worlds. And the sad thing is most Christians don't even know it. That groan got anesthetized and medicated a long time along the way. Now it's a distant memory when your spirit began to tremble on the inside of you. Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Spirit helps us with, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. You good? Good. The Holy Spirit is coming to you. If you begin to long for more of the Holy Spirit, He's going to help you in your weaknesses, and He's going to begin to confront widowhood and orphanhood in your lives. He's going to begin to purify wrong views of God and wrong views of yourself. He's going to begin to release the revelation that God enjoys you. God actually enjoys you. God actually likes you. He actually pursues you. He's a God of desire. Thank you. Thank you. It's a godly woman right here. That's what I want to look like right there. That's what I want. It's my vision. People ask me, what's your vision? I said, I want to be in my 80s, and I want to keep crying. Because life has one agenda, and that's to squelch that cry, that tenderness. Are you going to swim upstream, or are you going to just get lost? Because I'm feeling it tonight. It's pressure and presence. But many times, the prosperity can drown it out. We talk about the pros, presence, pressure, but how about prosperity? Prosperity, it stuffs hearts. It weighs hearts down. It chokes the word out. That's what Jesus said of the four soils. He says that the riches, the love for the riches and the covetousness, it chokes the word of God, which means its impact in our interior life is choked out and it doesn't bear forth the same fruit. He'll use pain, pressure, presence, prosperity. And he'll begin to confront wrong views of God and deliver you from orphanhood, illegitimacy, widowhood, of living at a distance. He'll begin to speak tenderly to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So much of us, I mean, I don't know if you guys have it here, but we got some demonic birds in the States. They'll just come crap all over your window shields. Y'all ever have demonic birds up here? They're just crapping all over your window shields. I feel like that's, and most of us are viewing God through crap-stained window shields. So many lies about God that are untrue. So many perversions and half-truths and skewed views of God that are just lies. Because the devil is the father of lies and he's spewing demonic vomit all the time. We need the washing of the water by the word mingled with the fire of the Holy Spirit to purify the washing of the water and the fire. To purify our views of God and our views of ourselves. So many of us are walking in dirty garments. We're walking in ugly garments, dirty garments. Can you put Zechariah 3 up here? Dirty garments, ugly garments. And we relate to God through these garments. We live at a distance. See, you can serve at church, you can be busy, you can pay your tithe, be a good person, and living on the inside with deep shame and condemnation. We need the Spirit's fire to come and change our garments. Take away the filthy garments from him. The Lord is declaring that over the church of Edmonton. Take away the filthy garments. Take away the filthy garments. Quit relating to me as an orphan. Quit relating to me as a widow. Luke 18, he says, if a widow overcomes an unjust judge, how much more can the bride standing before the righteous judge not see breakthrough in their situation? Take away the filthy garments. The Lord's saying, take away the garments and take away the turban. It's time for new thoughts to fill the church. New thoughts. See, you can't get that by just my hand laid on you. See, that's where it changes. Conference, and I'm all about it. I do 35 a year. I'm all about hitting conferences because God uses these times to create an environment. Listen, to create an environment for you to have 5 days to change your life so that what you heard becomes reality on the inside of you. No, listen to me. You get 5 days, maybe three, to change your life and to begin to own that Bible verse so you can set before Bible verses like, he likes you, he enjoys you, he rejoices over you like a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. You get these verses until it gets on the inside of you. And when that virus, stronger than Ebola, gets on the inside of you, it will begin to deliver you from lies, it will deliver you from strongholds, it will deliver you from arguments, it will break assignments, it will break things on the inside of you when the fire and the word. But God doesn't dance with mannequins. I want that brother to lay hands on me and my life change. And the Lord's saying, I want you to wake up early and open your Bible. And I want you to start praying in the Holy Ghost and start worshiping me. And I want you to be with me. And I want you to set before it saying, God, I don't feel it. I don't get it. He says, then sing it over your heart. You got to sing your way into the truth. You got to speak your way into the truth. Wedding garments are coming to the church. Because when the bride wakes up, she's going to come out of obscurity and she's going to come into partnership with Jesus. He is a burning bridegroom. Do you know the fire in his eyes? Do you know the fire in his eyes? Have you looked at those eyes of fire recently? Revelation 1, you can put about verse 13 up here. Revelation 1:13. And in the midst of the one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girt about the chest. Next verse. Here it is. His head and hair white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. There's fire in his eyes. That's the baptism of fire, is looking long enough. There's a baptism of fire. It comes on you. It comes in you. It gets up into your business. If the eyes are the window to the soul, what does that say about Jesus' soul, his interior life? What does that say about Jesus' interior life? He's on fire. This isn't a make-believe. Do you understand what drives God to come to the earth and take on your form? And then the life you were unable to live, he lived, enduring every temptation and trial from the devil, then climbed up on that cross, absorbed and endured the wrath of Almighty God, was died, buried, and then comes out of the grave, ascends to the right hand of the Father, moves into eternal intercession, and is coming again. It's because there's fire in that man's soul. He's after something. He didn't die for 45 minutes and 20 bucks. He didn't die for you to live on the fringes of a religious system. He wants nearness to you. He wants eye contact with you. He wants proximity to you. Your life will only make sense the more that that wound is awakened. Just a couple more minutes and we'll pray for you. Thank you, God. You're going to release a fire in Edmonton. Guys, I feel such faith in my heart. There's going to be great fires that's going to spread across Canada. This is the thing. And I don't know. I know that your prime minister said it. I know it's lots of people said it. There's an identity coming to Canada. Many of you have been trying to find an identity here, an identity there. I want to tell you, your identity is found in Jesus. And I believe there's coming a great identity to the Church of Canada. A bridal identity, a sonship identity in the house. See, these are in the house identities. That's where you get identity, is in the house. And the Church of Canada and the people of Canada are going to step into who we were made to be. I'm loved and I'm a lover. I'm pursued and I'm the pursuer. People ask me, I just did a Q&A thing on Instagram yesterday. They go, how do I get my cold, hard heart set on fire? I go, you put your cold, hard heart before the bonfire of his heart, his eyes, and you don't go away. Because the fire in his eyes will tenderize your cold heart. It's not about you trying to work harder. It's about you looking more. His fire will tenderize you. His fire will, it will burn up. It will refine. It will tenderize. Some of you haven't felt in a long time. Divine emotions are coming back to the church. Divine emotions. I preached a message in December called The Gift of Tears. Tears are coming to the church. Some of us haven't cried for years. We're going to start crying. Why are we crying? Because tears open up the door of revelation. Revelation 5, I wept much. Why are you weeping? Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Tears are coming to the church. He was speaking Psalm 126 earlier. It's a season where captivity is being loosed. We're like those who dreamed. But you know what the last part of that says? Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. It says those who have gone forth sowing tears. Do you know your tears are sowing seed for the next season's harvest? I believe that many of you have been crying, tears of pain, frustration, trial, difficulty, and the Lord says you're sowing in the next season's harvest. He says, look at that. What's it say? It says, those who go forth bearing seed for sowing shall doubtless come again rejoicing, carrying his sheaves with him. Hallelujah. Tears are coming back to the church. We're going to start feeling again. Fire of holiness is going to come back into our eyes. We're going to stop getting neutered by pornography in the spirit of this age. We're losing our voice because we're neutered. The shame in the secret places because of pornography and sexual immorality. What it's done to us, we've hid away. But God's going to restore the fire of holiness. Not fire of rules, but a fire of living in the blazing holiness. Loving His presence more than anything else. We're going to get our eyes back. He's going to break shame off of us. Hallelujah. Fire and tears and compassion. Matthew 9, when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. That's what I feel like God's doing to me. He's making shepherds in this hour. You won't look at the homeless person and say, they need to get a job. I believe God's going to start welling up holy compassion when you start looking on the weak and the broken. Yeah, you know, whatever. Give them $100 and tell them to get a job.
The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray. Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray. When you know who He is and who you are before Him, you will pray. Everybody say, come. Say, come. Say, come. Kind of sounds familiar to the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. Come. Come to me, Jesus. I want greater intimacy. Come near us that you would set Edmonton on fire. Who wants to see revival touch Edmonton? Where we see the lost get saved. You know what happened? We were last week. I believe God's in the midst of doing this. We were in Fresno last weekend together. We had a big conference and we got report on Sunday after the conference. One of the main churches hosted it. Their service that usually ends at 12 went to 5. And where they were only going to baptize 8, they ended up baptizing 110 people. Come to me, Jesus. Come near me. Oh, that Jesus would come near us. That He would break out in our homes. Oh, I forgot this. Put Luke 12:49 up here and then I'll pray for you. Luke 12:49. This is a good one. I can't miss this one. I'd been mad at myself. I literally would have been mad for the next 24 hours if I forgot this next one. Everybody says, Jesus came to do this. He came to do that. He came to do this. Jesus says, I came to send fire on the earth. I came to start a fire. Look at that. He says, and I wish this party were already started. He's already dreaming about Pentecost right here, saying, I'm ready to get this thing on the road. But look at verse 50. This is what will happen. This is what will happen. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, which means I got to die. And how distressed I am until it is accomplished. That's Jesus saying, I got to get through Calvary first. Verse 51. But do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? Oh, he's about to get up in your business here. You think I came so we can all have kumbaya parties and have a nice life and have a nice Sunday potluck dinner and we're all happy and you're happy? You think I came to make it all nice and pretty? Did you not think that Holy Spirit would be the drunk uncle? He says, I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Look at this. Next verse. From now on, 5 in one house will be divided. 3 against 2, 2 against 3. Father against son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. 54. And then he kept going on. What's Jesus saying? And who in here knows this as the fire of God begins to grow in your life? It begins to disrupt niceness at home. Make no mistake about it. Jesus isn't into just everybody getting along. Jesus is saying this. If he goes, I will release my fire in your life and I will get in the middle of the most intimate family relationships to have you for myself. And we're going to have peace on my terms. That's what fire does. That's what fire does. Fire is a revealer. And fire brings reality. 1 Corinthians 3. I said I wasn't going to share no more. I'll just say it to you. Do you know that fire is going to be applied to all of our works that we do in this life? You know y'all have car washes here in Canada? I remember, I think I said that here last time I was here. I picture that we're going to come into eternity carrying all of our stuff that was accrued and accumulated, even in the kingdom, and we're going to pass through a fire wash. And this sad thing is that many Christians will come out on the other side just about naked, as all the truckloads of stuff they brought in got revealed to be hay, wood, and stubble in a moment. Fire
brings reality. Fire brings reality. And I'm like, Jesus, shock me now instead of shocking me later. I don't want to just make you think how awesome I am. I want heaven to give me truth. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When I was talking earlier about the groan, something started moving in some of you in this room. Something started, I could feel it. I felt some just things were happening in your soul. Hallelujah. Just open up your hands. Let's just ask Him. Father, here we are. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Salabata. Yeah, let's just take about a couple of minutes and begin to pray lightly in the Spirit all over the room. Jesus, John the Baptist said, there's one coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Father, we ask you tonight upon the summit, upon the city of Edmonton right now, Father, I ask you that you would release a baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire. Father, I thank you for the fire of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the fire that enables, the fire that consumes, the fire that purifies, the fire that tenderizes, the fire that empowers. Father, I ask you to release the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's it. God, release your fire. Just wait on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Song of Solomon 8:6. Song of Solomon 8:6. Set yourself as a seal of fire upon my heart. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can floods drown it. If a man were to give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. Love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire. Put your hand on your heart. Hallelujah. There's fire coming to your heart. Jesus is saying, I want you to put me as the owner. Come be the flame. You know Misty's song, Come Be the Flame, inside my heart. God, I pray for the fire of God. You set the road to Emmaus. Their hearts were burning within them. Ha! Come on, lift your voice all over the room. Come on, I want to hear your voices. Just lock eyes with the burning man and go for him. Go for him. Jesus, that you would own my heart. You would seal my heart with your fire. There is a man who is in hot pursuit of you.